Unapologetically Unashamed presents Relational Breakdowns. I'm your host and facilitator, Athena Stewart. I'm so excited about this project. This is simply a conversation that is going to help us to dive into our core issues that starts with breakdowns in relationships, whether it was a domestic violence environment you grew up in or sexual assault that you encountered. There was a breakdown in relationship that created unhealthy bad habits that we've lived for years. I am so excited to present the team, myself, Athena Stewart, teaching you all things intimacy with Holy Spirit. We have Nashawn Holmes teaching worship through art form and dance. We have Andrea Taylor, who is our certified Christian life coach. We have Regina Cartwright, who teaches all things being single and Christian. And then we have Pamela Thompson, who helps you get through processes of grief. Really has been a passion of mine. Holy Spirit gave me this vision 7 years ago, and to see it manifest, I'm really excited to really walk you through your core issues, just as I've walked through mine, so that you, like me, can live a quality life, what God has desired for us. Through this conversation, you're going to learn what it is to be unapologetically unashamed.
Welcome to Unapologetically Unashamed. Thank you, God, for holding on, y'all. We was having technical difficulties, so we got Felicia Thomas with us via audio. We couldn't figure out the camera. You know, the devil is angry. He didn't want us to do this thing, but we're going to do it regardless. Welcome to episode 8. It is our finale. Woo, woo! We are excited. We are covering everything from crafty suggestions to shame, responsibility, accountability, and reconciliation with the Father. And we are so excited. We are excited to have Felicia Thomas all the way from the east to the coast. Oh, y'all not ready for this. Y'all not ready. You're not ready.
We want you, Felicia.
We are excited. So we're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves. I'm Athena Stewart, CEO and founder of New Beginnings Empowerment Center Incorporated, as well as Unapologetically Unashamed. So excited. We'll let y'all go around and introduce yourselves, and then we'll give Felicia the flow.
Hi, I am Pam Thompson, and I am your grief and sorrow expert and a published author.
I'm Nashawn Holmes, CEO of The Movement Conservatory, taking back every genre of movement for the kingdom.
Take it back!
And I'm Regina Gari Morales. I am the founder of The Singles Advantage. It's a ministry to empower singles and to prepare them for marriage.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I mean, y'all got a whole rap sheet over there. What's up? Hey, I'm Felicia Thomas, and that's who I am. I'm his daughter. I love my daddy. My ministry is For His Glory to Speak. My podcast, which will be coming, it will be launching in 2020 of February. Will be called For His Glory. So I'm so excited, and I'm grateful that Athena said yes to the call. Thank you.
Yes. Can y'all tell I'm excited? Like, I'm like a kid at a candy store. That's my new sister, and I don't know how to act. Like, I'm just so excited about this partnership. I'm excited for the anointing that Felicia carries. It's phenomenal, and if you have an opportunity to be in the room with her, you would understand, too. It's just phenomenal. We got a lot of people on tonight, and I am excited to shout everybody out. Sarah.
Yes.
We got Sonia. Yes. Carrie, thanks for joining. Angel, thanks for joining. Hey, Gabrielle Spencer, that's our sister from the East Coast, girl. Hey, girl.
Hey, Gabby.
Tabitha, Tatum. Hey, Tatum. Now, don't make me nervous, okay? I'm going to get, like, all starstruck and camera shy. I'm so excited you watching, girl, but I don't know how to act with myself. So, Tatum, to me, is my Christian Beyonce, y'all, so I'm trying to keep my composure. Hey, Aaron, you back on. Don't start no trouble tonight, sir, okay? You see me? Don't you start no trouble. I am so excited. So the narrator is going to get her screen up. We're not going deep into the notes tonight, but we are going to give you a little info on the topic of crafty suggestions. And Felicia, when Holy Spirit kick you in the neck, just go on and holler, okay? We listen.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
Go on, narrator.
topic scripture is, "And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
Yes, he does.
So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds." That's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. First key point is crafty suggestions partnership. Crafty suggestions are lies Satan presents while disguised as an angel of light. They seem innocent at first. However, as we partner with the lie, a strong opposing spirit develops. Crafty suggestions start in the form of seemingly harmless ideas. Often they take the form of temptation. Hmm. These lies, if unaddressed, build from a small flame into an uncontrollable inferno. Question: can you now begin to see some lies you have allowed yourself to partner with?
Well, it's not right there, because that's good enough. Yeah. Now, listen, crafty suggestions, I think we have all been involved with, from fear to anxiety to depression. Here's the thing about crafty suggestions. I just want to throw it out there. It's about struggling with something that is not of God and partnering with it. It's about, that's how we give it power. So if you feel fear and you partner with that and you become scared and you relish in that moment, that's following and giving partnership to that crafty suggestion. Whatever that thing is for you, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's ego, whether it's pride, whatever that name is, you fill in the blank for you. And then you say, am I empowering that so that it rules me and I don't overcome it through the word of God? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the question is, just tell us about your crafty suggestions. Anybody suffer with a crafty suggestion? Because, you know, mine is doubt. I'm just going to be real. I'm doubting Thomas over here. And Felicia were talking about some stuff last night. And, you know, and me and Pam were talking. We had some good conversations last night, the whole team. And so, you know, in this season where I'm going, the vision is huge. And it's bigger than me. And it don't look like what my bank account says. It don't look like what my circumstance says. So I have doubt. And I fight with that poverty mindset. And so believing God, all I continue to tell myself to combat my crafty suggestion is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's what I meditate on. Because just like the Samaritan, I believe. But I know there's some doubt, there's some unbelief. Help me with that. Amen?
Can it also mean that, like, we're in ministry, and though you're struggling in a particular sin that you feel like you're still not good enough to be able to serve God because you're not perfect?
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Self-worth, right? And then that goes back to identity. You're struggling with your identity and not seeing yourself the way the Father sees you.
Right.
So,
come on.
What you think,
that's
Felicia?
Good.
Go on, jump on in here. I'm tagging you in, girl. You it.
Well, I appreciate that. Because listen, when narrator was reading the scripture, when she said masquerade, the first thing I thought about was a mask, right? And a lot of times what happens is we don't know who we are because we've allowed the world in. The mindset of what the world says we need to look like and who the world says we need to become our reality. So a lot of times we are in partnership with the enemy himself, whether that be legit the devil or your inner me. For me, it's me. Like, it ain't no devil that's coming after me. Like, yeah, he on his job, but his job is to make sure that I stay on my job by doubting and not believing and not trusting and having fear and having anxiety. That's his job. His job is just to heighten what I already do for myself. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when I thought of the scripture in regards to a masquerade, he masquerades himself as an angel of light. That's because what happens is we come into partnerships with these people or these people.
Right.
And we don't really realize, like, you know, wait a minute, I should have saw you coming from afar, but because there's something of familiarity with you, I allowed that to come in. Why? Because I don't know who I am. I don't really walk in whose I am. And so with that, it goes back to the beginning, right? Everything has a foundation of purpose in our life. And so when we go back to the beginning, the Bible says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
Yeah.
And he says to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So when those things come up and when those thoughts begin to arise, that's what the enemy is doing. Those little seeds that he's even planting, that's what he's doing. Did God really say that you're not supposed to talk to him?
Yeah.
Did God really say you should save yourself for marriage? Did God really say to have that type of a conversation? When we allow those "did God really say" in that context, that's when the mask comes on, because we know the truth.
Right.
We know the truth, but we choose to believe the lie of the enemy, and we choose to entertain that in which he has allowed to come into our lives. So a lot of times when we are in these partnerships, it's not because the devil himself told us or made us. It's because there was already deceit there. I believe that Eve was already thinking about, like, what this forbidden fruit tastes like.
Right.
What does that taste like?
Right.
Because obviously you don't want me to taste that because you just want to be mean. And not saying that that's how she thought or nothing like that, but I know for me, when I'm looking at, you know, the boundaries of things, I'm like, but Daddy, why? You know what I'm saying? Daddy, why I can't go across the street when it's dark?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why I can't do this? Why I can't do that? Oh, you just don't want me to have fun. You just don't want me to this. Not realizing that there's protection in the boundaries.
Come on.
You understand? There's protection there. And
Come
so when we can get to a place with our Father where we are, number one, authentic with ourselves, then we'll be able to be authentic with our Daddy.
That's
but
good.
Until then, the mask has to come off, and it has to start with us looking at us to say, this is not who I am.
Y'all better hear this. This is Felicia Thomas. I'm going to need y'all to get to know her. She coming up on the scene. And so the two words that Holy Spirit has given me for the new year is steward progression. And I think that also applies to steward choice. Steward your choice well, because in that thought, in that mindset, in that wanting to touch or push or go over the boundary, you have a choice. And I don't think that we really honor the gift of choice. I don't think that we really take it in front of us to say, okay, this is a gift. Like when I look at my dog, he ain't got a choice to be a dog. You're a dog. Go on and sat down somewhere. Go on and sat. You're not going to get none of this table food. You're not. He don't have a choice. When I look at my fish, they sometimes hungry for 2 days. Animal people don't come after me. I'm sorry. I forget. I do. But they don't have a choice. They can't jump out and go get the food under the tank, you know, and go back in. Although my turtle do try to escape sometime, but I digress. They do. They do. I'm telling you. You know them turtles is crazy. However, steward your choice well.
True. That's good.
I'm sorry, y'all. I can't help myself. I'm hot too.
No,
girl.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's really good. And let me say something about that in regards to choice. I legit, do you hear me? I legit would be like, Daddy, why you just won't make me do it?
Come on.
Like, why you just won't make me?
Because
like,
he don't want us to be robots.
And I get that, right? And the Bible also talks about the fact that he says when we worship him in spirit and in truth.
Come on.
And so in that, he don't want my truth to be what he made me do.
Come on.
Right? He wants me to love him. He wants me to come after him. He wants me to desire him. And with all of that being said, I could not stand the fact that, like, yes, it's a great thing that you allow me to have choice, Father. But, like, really, Daddy, in these tight situations where my flesh is so high, and I am like, okay, I'm giving in, but I don't want to. And I feel as though I'm hanging on my pinky nail. Just make me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, you know, the Bible says that his grace is sufficient. Even in that, his grace is really sufficient because he allows his hand to not take me out.
Come on.
Right? He allows his hand to be that of a loving father. He allows that his presence to not overtake me in a sense of where it's so overbearing that I don't wake up. You know what I'm saying? But he allows me to stay there and make a choice. And even if I make the wrong choice, right? He's like, you know what, baby? I knew you were going to do it. That's why we're going to have this conversation. And when we talk about it, you're going to get it. And guess what? And even if you don't, you're going to get it the next time. And even if you don't, you're going to get it the next time. But even if you don't, I about to get it about me.
Right.
You'll get it the next time. But it's because of my love for you.
Yeah.
It's because I know what I put in you. It's because I know whose you are. And when you realize that and recognize that, you'll begin to fight for the thing of choice.
Amen.
Yes. You'll begin to fight for it. And you'll begin to fight for the right choice.
Come on. The right choice. Come on.
The right choice.
And you'll embrace conviction. right? Come on. Don't run from it. And you'll recognize that I want conviction. I don't want condemnation. I want to embrace my choice, the right choice, through conviction. I want you to convict me, Holy Spirit, so that I stay within the will, because I know when I step out, I'm no good. I know when I step out, all hell breaks loose. I know when I step out from up under this umbrella, I give legal right to the enemy. Go on and stop stepping out. Okay, so we got people. We got so many people. Hey, people, I can't get to you all, but I see you. I see you. Aaron, you're cutting up, but he says all of it. Come on, Aaron, and be transparent. I am so excited for what I'm going to be doing with Aaron in the future. I ain't saying nothing, but I'm just saying I'm excited. We got Angel says doubt. Go on, sister. We both struggling with doubt. Doubt going to get up off of us, though. Angel says, speak, Felicia, girl. That was for you. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Oh, I just thought I'd say all four of them. Tatum says, go off, Felicia. Go on off on the devil. Go on. Hey, Tatum, girl. Hey, girl. Hey. Heather says, this is so good. I am so excited you guys are enjoying. I told you it was going to be good. I told you. I told you. You should have listened to me.
Listen.
Tatum said, it's so good.
Listen.
I went somewhere.
So, Angel, I'm sorry. I don't know if y'all are talking, and if y'all are, I'm so sorry. Angel, as you said, doubt. I just want to encourage you, Angel, that doubt does not mean that you don't have faith.
Come on.
I really want you to hear that, and I want you to hear that from the Lord. Doubt does not mean that there's no faith there. Doubt just means that there's some unbelief, and that just means that there's some uncertainty. But even in that, right? So the Bible says that we call him Doubting Thomas. Forget the Bible, but we call him Doubting Thomas. He has become, quote unquote, Doubting Thomas. Why? Because he spoke up in an area in which other men, other disciples, did not have the courage to speak. Right? Because I know for a fact that he was not the only one that was trying to I will have to see the nail print in his hand. I do want to put my hand in his side. I do want to see the nail print in his feet. But it was the mere fact that he had courage enough to say it in the midst of his doubt in front of everybody else. And a lot of times we are labeled for things that we say because other people wish that they had the courage to say what you wanted to say. So, Angel, doubt does not mean that you don't trust God. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It just means, hey, Daddy, when you do it for me, I want to see what you did for me. I want to feel what you did. I want to put my hand in that thing. Why? Because when I get it this time, when I get it this time, I'm going to go tell somebody else, and I'm going to tell somebody else, and I'm going to tell somebody else. And guess what? They're not going to shut me up, because just like they couldn't shut me up before I opened my mouth to tell you my doubt, they can't shut me up when you show up. How about that?
You better say it. She says, this is so good. I so needed that. Heather is grabbing this. Y'all grab it for you too. If you're struggling with doubt, grab it for you. I love it. Being honest and being real enough to say, I doubt. Being honest and being real enough to say, I fear. That don't negate that void out your salvation.
That's right.
It don't void out the fact that you called by God. Right. It don't void out nothing. That is a crafty suggestion of the enemy.
Thank you.
Y'all keep adding in the comments. And so, Mr. Aaron, he over here cutting up again. He said the problem is it was Adam's fault. I'm glad you taking responsibility, Aaron, for your faults and saying you should have had us covered. Because, you know, sometimes we just can't help ourselves. Y'all got to cover us. You know, Aaron. That's a Miss Deshaun Holmes baby daddy. Yes. Come on, Mr. Aaron.
I like that.
Deshaun. Amen, Athena Stewart. I love seeing my name on the screen. I just thought I'd say that since we're saying stuff. You know, that's what they said. Tabitha said, I don't know. It said, Faye, my father is smiling. Speak life, hunty. Speak it. Tatum said, girl, you better prophesy.
Yeah, you are.
Gone. Felicia, girl, don't stop. Keep it going. Okay, don't you stop the flow. What's our next topic? We about to shift over to. Yeah, Pam about to jump in. Go on, Pam.
Because we have to understand that life is choice driven.
Yes.
And God could very well make everybody serve him. But he wants to give us a choice, because just like you want to be chosen, he wants us to choose him.
Yeah.
So that is so powerful that we choose.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's God.
Yeah. You ever been in that high school where that man didn't really want you, but he was with you just because? I had one of those situations where you know he really didn't like you. You know he didn't like you. He didn't really choose you from the heart, right? He just, he was just with you maybe because you had something that made him look good. Or maybe it was something by being attached to him, you know, it did something for him. But in his heart of hearts, he didn't want you. So are you looking at God that way? Are you choosing God because of what maybe you think you can get from him? Tatum, you had this on a show where we pimping out Jesus.
Come on.
What you pimping out Jesus for? I want to know.
When they understand, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, it's a whole new ballgame.
Come on. Taste and see. Don't pimp and see.
Ladies, this is the thing. This is the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the thing. You hit something so good, Athena, I don't even think you got it. So let me bring that back around to you. You said, when you off in high school and you know that you wasn't necessarily the first choice, you know what I'm saying? And yet he did what he did or whatever, and you was excited about that thing. Why? Because he still yet chose you. Even though you weren't number one, you settled for being number two, number three, number four, number five, number 12, number 13, 16, 18, whatever that looks like, right? But because God is, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Like, he wants to know in your heart of hearts that you choose him first, right? You choose him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Why? Because he knows what's on the other side of And with that being said, what happens is, we don't get to where we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because when God starts to require certain things from us, and he starts to tell us, let this go, let them go, let that go, don't do that, don't say that, go apologize, repent for that, turn from that, that go. We think that God is a bad God, or we think that he's just a dictatorship, and that's all that he wants to do is tell us the bad things that we're doing, when we don't realize that he's shining light on the darkness in our lives. So we don't get to the part where we can taste and see, because we don't want to put in the effort to do the work in which requires him to just allow us, fill us up and to overflow outside of us, right? And to show us what he's going to do in our lives. And so when we think about that, we think about work. We equivalate that with works. And God says, no, it's not about your works. I don't need your works. I don't need that. I need your heart. But when you are, when you chasing that man, because let me just say, Felicia has chased for men. Do you hear me?
I know.
When I'm chasing that man, when I'm chasing that man, I know I put in work. Do you understand me? I make sure that I text him. I make sure that I call him. I make sure that I let him know I love you and I got you and I'm there. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, see, when it comes to our Heavenly Father, we don't want to put in the work that is required to get the blessings that are already for us.
And I'm gonna break that scripture down even further, because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness, and then all these things shall be added. And if you pulled out your concordance and you was really wanting to get revelation and you broke down righteousness, there's two meanings to that. Seek ye first obedience. Seek ye first to be obedient to your Father, and all these things will be added. And then the second part to that is, seek ye first relationship with your Father, and all these things. So through obedience and intimate relationship with the Father, all these things will be added. If we would get the context right and truly get revelation that only comes through intimacy by Holy Spirit, we would make the right choice. We would be able to go deeper in this thing. This is so good. I just want it. You know that verse that make you want to slap your mama, but I love my mama too much to slap her. But I'm just saying, it's so good. Make you want to slap your mama. Down. I'm down on the ground. I can't take it.
But I think it's normal to have a natural feeling, to have doubt and fear, but don't let it manifest into action. You know, if God gives you a word, you may have a doubt, like, wow, is that really going to happen? But you need to move on it. Don't let it sit.
And I think it's a balance too, right? God allows us to have emotion for a reason. Not that we trust in our emotions emphatically, but that it keeps us balanced. It keeps us going to him. Okay, Abba, I feel this way. Let me talk to you about it. Okay, I'm feeling doubtful, Abba. What do I do about it? Help me. Empower me. Help me to trust you. Help me to surrender. I'm not surrendered there, Father, because I'm fearful. Help me to surrender there so that I can finish out the task. We're going to go to some comments, because people, the streets is talking. They talking, y'all. Yeah, come on, streets, and talk to us. Rosalind says, girl, Girl, and saying to God, help me with my unbelief, Lord Jesus. See, I just had to get into character. It takes me a moment, you know, when the anointing falls. Then the angel said, Father, help me with my unbelief. He is angel. He is. He better, because Felicia just called him down and told him you need to move. So I felt it move. It was a shift. Elijah said, say that, sis. Without that face looked terrible. Elijah, go and fix that face. Aaron says, I can hear him now. I can hear. Y'all got to meet Aaron. I'm going to bring him on somebody's camera. I'm telling you, y'all got to meet him. He's a funny character. Angel says, yes, I choose the Lord. Rosalind says, he wants to know if your heart of hearts that you choose him first. Girl, you better say that, sis. Go on. Hey, Ari. All the East Coast women that jump on the screen. Hey, boo. How you doing? Come on. We aren't truly testing. We aren't truly tasting and seeing that he is good, because that requires sacrifice on some level. Come on. Y'all better be a sacrifice. There's always a ram in the bush, but you got to be obedient first. Right. Tatum says, wow. I can't. Tatum says, we don't want to put in the work to get the promises that are already there for us. Amen. There is work. And the work isn't performance. The work is obedience.
It's not.
The work
it's
is
obedience.
Sacrifice. Right. It's not performance. Yes, it's right. not about how much you show up for church. It's not about if you go to corporate prayer. It's not even about if you get up first thing in the morning and read your Bible. That's performance. Come That's on. Ritual. It's about your heart's posture. What is your heart's posture to the Father? Because he searches the heart.
Yes.
Right.
He already know what's on your mind, but he searches your heart.
Amen.
Because what's on your mind and in your heart, how you act and how you operate is really coming from your heart. Check your heart posture, people. We're going to go to the next topic, because this one could be fire all by itself.
Yes, ma'am. It is.
The second key point. Shame, the ultimate partnership.
So let's talk about that.
Girl.
The definition is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior, as well as a loss of respect or esteem, dishonor. I've had some life situations happen where I've been wrong and foolish, but conscious of it. Like deliberately going after it, and then shame came, and shame was a fortress that I helped to build around myself, and it at the time, in those instances where I did those things or I said those things, shame made me feel protected, but it actually keeps me in bondage when I don't speak up.
Come on.
Or if I don't do what I know I should.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other instances that shame has come into your lives and
sexual perversion for me, you know, I'm just real and bondage. Transparent with it. That's my struggle. Sexual perversion brought shame. And every time I got tired or frustrated or I felt like I wasn't good enough, I did something sexual that wasn't right, that was perverse. And then I wore the shame of that thing. Or I wore the shame of being molested by my father. I wore the shame of being in an abusive relationship and not making a better choice to get out. I even wore shame when my daughter went into human sex trafficking, because maybe it was some of my sexual perversion that got off on her. And I ushered that thing in. And so I wore that for 7 years like it was my best friend. And guess what? You get so comfortable with shame that you begin to cultivate it and you begin to hold it. And it's your comfort zone, because it's what you know. Because in my life growing up, shame was always what it was. Whether I had to wear hand-me-downs, whether I didn't fit in with the in crowd, I always felt ashamed because they looked at me different or I looked funny. I didn't know it was because I was called by the Most High to do a great work. I couldn't see that. But all I knew is I was different and I didn't fit in. Yes. So that's all I'm gonna say on that.
Wow.
That's good.
I was thinking that term, you know, when you know better, you do better. But when know better and you're having a struggle to do better, that's when you're covered in that shame as well. Yeah. You carry that heavy burden.
That's good. That's good, Regina. Yeah.
Go ahead, Athena.
Go ahead, Pam. No, I ain't saying that, because I could talk all night and then you get going and go on, Pam.
Well, my shame was that, like you said, when you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, we always know to do better. So my shame came when I had a child out of wedlock. Mm. And but even though, like, in my family, it was normal.
Yeah.
But for me, I felt shame because I knew better.
Yeah.
But my flesh got the best of me, plain and simple. This flesh was talking loud, and I wasn't hearing the voice of God, or not even yielding to it, because to be honest, I heard the voice of God.
That
I knew
part.
What on, I was getting ready to do was not the right thing to do, but this thing we have called flesh,
come on.
And I met this young guy. Come hey, on. We, you know, he cute.
Come on, Pam.
He into me, or whatever, or so we think, because they into something else. Mm-hmm. It was not about me.
Right.
But when I had my daughter, I felt shame because I'm like, man, you know better. Because the one thing my mom said was, don't do it. But she just said, don't do it because I did it. But she didn't elaborate on that.
Right.
And so when I did it, though, I felt shame. Like, they throwing a baby shower. They all excited and happy, and I'm depressed.
Mm.
I'm
like,
wow. They like, you know, oh, so excited. First of all, I'm 20 years old. I couldn't even take care of myself. Mm. I was a college student, and I was working at the same time. But I will say, I didn't quit. I finished college. I became a hairstylist. I was in hair school and college at the same time that I'm working. But I felt so much shame. Yeah. And even I felt like, you know, even being pregnant, like a lot of that entered my child because I was just depressed. I was like, man, I cannot believe I did this. But then too, because I was the good child. You know what I'm saying? As far as in my mother's eyes, I was the child that she would have never thought. I have a twin sister. So she would have thought my twin sister would have done that. But she would have never thought me, her good child that's always listening, making the good grades and all of this stuff. And I felt a level of shame because I felt like I disappointed her. And she was angry at first. She really was, because literally she didn't expect that from me. So I carried the shame of, wow, I did this, and now she's looking at me different, and I'm the favorite child. My sister is here, too. That's why I'm stressing that child. She's watching
herself. She's poking at you, sis.
She's poking.
We got a twin thing going on. You know what it is, but I carried that.
Wow.
And so I felt like I even put that on my daughter.
That's good.
But when she came out, it was a different story. I'm like, I got to go hard for this thing. You know, she here now. Like, I got to be a mama. When I didn't know what that was. I didn't even know what that looked like. I couldn't buy a pack of diapers.
Wow. What's your take on the shame, Felicia? That's Pam. That's good.
That is.
I just feel like I've learned it more, and I heard that, but you gave more revelation to it. You was holding out. Holding out on
So this is the thing, because, like, everybody was saying stuff, and it was just hitting me so differently. And I'm over here like, all right, bet. When we first started reading about shame, what really dropped into my spirit is the reason shame comes for a lot of us, and I'm just going to be real.
Come on.
A lot of times shame comes because we got caught. Shame comes because the choice that you made, you now have a response or an action or a reaction to your action, right? So let's just say 15 years old, losing my virginity, and my grandmother comes home and there's a guy in the bed. You get what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't shaming. I wasn't shameful when I was in the act.
Right.
But because I got caught, now I'm shamed. Why? Because I've now been caught. My hand has been caught. I can't hide my hand because I'm caught. And so when I thought about, when I think, again, going back to the beginning, because that's what my daddy do. He's like, there's foundation there. Let's go to the beginning. So when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, right, they wasn't shameful when they ate that fruit. They took that fruit and Adam ate that fruit. No. When the serpent told Eve, you know, did God really say? And she entertained that conversation. Guess what? She wasn't shameful that she was entertaining that serpent.
Right.
Why? Because the serpent was familiar. The serpent was familiar. This is something that I see every day, all day.
Oh,
so
my.
This is not like, get back. I see this all the time. Mm. So I can conversate with this. I can converse with this. So this is cool. Oh. And now because I've taken of this fruit and I've eaten and I've given to my counterpart, he's yet ate as well. Now my eyes are open to see that I'm naked. Now I'm ashamed. Now I'm going to go and hide. And then when God said, Adam, where are you? Oh, I hid myself. Well, why are you hiding? Because I was naked. Who told you that?
Who?
Who told you that? Who told you that? And why are you listening to them? And better yet, why are you talking to them? So for me, when it comes to shame, shame for me is, like you said, sexual perversion, right? Like, yeah. It's lust. It's fornication. It's just knowing, like, Father, I don't want to do all of this. Like, it's lesbianism. It's lying. Talk it's, it, you man. Know, deceit. It's all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's knowing that, like, I've been a backstabber. You know what I'm saying? I've been a gluttonous. You know what I'm saying? I've been hating on my sister over here. Like, it's all of that. Right. You know what I'm saying? And in all of that, my daddy has exposed all of it, and he shed light to it, and yet he's covered it, right?
Yes.
And that's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. He covered them. Yes. He had to go and sacrifice a lamb, or he had to go and sacrifice something that should not have been sacrificed, but because he's God, he's like, you know what? I love you, though. I love you. I created you in my image. So I'm going to sacrifice that thing that is not in my image, and I'm going to cover you.
Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of times what shame does is it creates that opportunity. It creates that space of, I can't go and talk to my daddy about this. I'm not going to go talk to my daddy about this. Why? Because I'm caught.
Yep.
That's what I kept getting. That's what I kept getting. Off. And then when, I think it was Ms. Pam who was talking last. Was that Ms. Pam?
Yeah, yes. Ms. Pam.
When you were talking in regards to you know, you were the good girl. The only thing, the word that came out of the word that the Holy Spirit was hitting me with was perfection.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Because what happens is we can mask our relationship with perfectionalism. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With just being a perfectionist, right? Like, okay, I go to church, I do quote unquote the right things, I do this, I don't do that. I'm not like her. I don't do that. I don't do that. But then when my own self desires, right? Because it was a desire. The Bible says that the fruit was desirable to Eve. It was a desire. It looked pleasing in her eyes. So that thing in which looks pleasing in my eyes, now that I've partaken in that, guess what? There are consequences to that.
Yeah,
there are consequences. Ma'am. And thanks be to God that you had your baby. Your baby, I'm sure, is beautiful. I've never seen her. But you are a woman. You're a woman of God. And I'm sure that you have, you know, really instilled godly morals in that young lady. But at that point, you didn't see the end. But because God allowed yet another sacrifice to be made on his daughter's account, you can say today what you've done and not have shame for what you've done because God has reconciled what you've done.
Oh, my.
That's our Father.
He had to soul. My God.
That's our Father.
Listen. Felicia, you was on fire.
Jesus.
I don't even, all I could do is sit here and just, I feel like I'm being marinated. Yeah, I'm being flipped over, flopped and dropped and picked back up. And, you know, just to introduce to you, Felicia, that was the same baby that Pam lost and walked through grief with Holy Spirit at a very young age. Yeah, and that's, she was 8, right?
Yeah.
And that was her first baby that she lost. And she walked through that traumatic process with Holy Spirit and wrote a book on it. She's a published author for that, just for that reason. And that's her testimony, which is so beautiful.
Wow.
Y'all, we got like 5 minutes and it is 3 minutes and it's so unfair. Want my 15 minutes back, people. But we gonna jump to my tech is saying, nah, you wrong. Nah, you ain't got what you talking about. She all gone, get yourself, catch yourself. I got to 6:10. Okay, well, look at Jesus. He done redeemed time. Hey, manifesting that stuff in the flesh. I mean, we got so many comments, and I love all of these comments. I want to read Mr. Aaron because, you know, he going to bring the men to the light. He says, wow, the wall you build for protection becomes your prison. That was good, baby.
Yeah.
Don't go and make no more children. Gone. No more babies. Okay, no more babies.
You don't have to worry.
Elijah says, my experience has been that living in shame robs us of the joy that we should experience in life. We be stressing over stuff God is ready to forgive and free us from. Come on and say that. Now, this girl, she from the East Coast, too. That's part of my little tribe. She's amazing, up-and-coming social worker. She's going to do some great things, especially with the organization. We got Ari that says, shame comes when the light comes on. Come on, you got caught with your pants down. That ain't fun. Let me tell you, I experienced that before. You ain't going to say where, but I will say I experienced it. It wasn't fun. I was in the Publix.
Look at Mama.
Come on.
Oh, Mama in the studio too, and I'm just being real. I'm sorry, I don't know how to be. She know. I tell Mama everything. Mama, I got cobbling pants down. I was at so-and-so.
Transparency.
She's like, that's terrible, baby. That's terrible, Ma. You supposed to be like, you're wrong. No, that's not just terrible. No, Mama D so soft. Mama D so soft that you feel even worse. Like, oh God. Kill me now.
You don't want to whoop me?
Okay, I can't. I can't. Just be. Yeah, I said, Mama, why you don't whoop us? She was like, I ain't doing all of that. Mama, I'm getting away with murder. You ain't whooping me? No, I'm tired. I got 3 jobs.
Wow.
Better be gone, tired.
Experience gonna be your teacher.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm getting a whooping. We're going to go to reconciliation because I think we're going to light this last topic up, because this is what we really wanted to close the season out, that everything that we walked through in this relational breakdown series, from breakdowns of relationship to lies of the enemy to crafty suggestions to shame, all should take us to a road of reconciliation with the Father. Yes, He's paid the ultimate price that we can be reconciled. He's made us once again compatible with the Father. When God looks down, He sees the blood of His Son on us, and we are whole in His sight. Nothing can rob us of that. Once we accept Him, He's paid the price. He's cleared the balance from the enemy's camp. He's taken all legal authority and right that the enemy had at us, on us, and He's cleared the balance. We are debt-free in the Spirit of God. And God is saying, would you allow me to let you be debt-free in life? Would you allow me to let you be debt-free in the natural? I've done it for you in the Spirit, and now I want to match that thing up in the natural. If you would just sit down somewhere and let me do what only I can do.
Yes.
Come on, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Come on. I just want to run up out of here. Jesus, make me debt free.
Felicia wants
to
say
something. So I can get a credit card.
Felicia wants to say something.
Go on, Felicia. I'm sorry. I saw some stuff.
No, don't be. Don't be. No, I felt that thing.
Somebody felt it.
This is the thing. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. I don't know the definition of that word, but
I got it for you.
Give me the definition.
We gonna give it. Come on, give me this iPad. Let me read it. I need to read it in this voice because you know this is special. Oh, this is nice. Oh Lord, I done skipped. Hold on, girl. I'm gonna read it because you know Holy Spirit did something really special, and I was half asleep, but I wrote it down because I was listening. I was. Oh, that was long. We went through all of that. Wait, we going? Oh Jesus. All right. So reconciliation, the restoration of a viable relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And the action that allows us access to the spiritual view and belief in belief in the mysteries of God. It makes us compatible within ourselves. 1 Corinthians 2:7 and Matthew 3:13-11. I'm giving you a long version. I'm almost done, I promise. And the action taken by and through Christ Jesus to pay all financial penalties of sin, clearing all accounts that the enemy legally held, releasing and bringing us into harmonization with Father. And I broke that down. Compatibility between us and God, Romans 5:1. Gone, Felicia. Take that flow.
That's hope.
Okay. So the thing with reconciliation is, when you go to reconcile, and just in layman's terms for me, when you go to reconcile, there are two parties involved. There's a party who feels like, hey, I need to tell you something, or I need to apologize, or there's something I need to say, or hey, we need to come to some type of agreement, some type of term, some type of an understanding. And so when I personally think of reconciliation, I think of the humility in going back to my daddy saying, hey, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's my fault. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. You've already paid the price. Mm-hmm. You've already shown me what you're going to do. You've already told me what you're going to do. And you've already did what you said you was going to do. Jesus done already died. His blood was already shed. He ain't doing it again. So when I think of reconciliation with my daddy, I think of, okay, daddy, I'm caught up in this. This is what it looked like. I done got me in this. I need your help to get me out because I can't get me out of this. But what happens is, and why we don't have reconciliation with our Heavenly Father is because we don't know how to apologize. Mm-hmm. What happens is we don't know how to repent.
Come on.
The Bible says repent. That means turn away from and go in the opposite direction. What we do is we go to our Father with remorse. Mm. I'm remorseful at the fact that I did this. Why? Because now shame is attached to that because I got caught. Mm. So I'm remorseful, but I'm not repentful. So God is like, I get you and I understand. And yeah, I'll take that to some degree, but that's going to, the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen. The Bible also says that if you don't, rocks will cry out in your name. So before I allow a rock to cry out in my name, Daddy, we need to talk about it.
Come on.
We need to talk about it. I need to understand. And so a lot of times reconciliation does not come, not because he's a mean father, not because he's a hateful daddy, not because he doesn't want you to come, but it's because we don't know how to change our heart posture to our dad. Yeah. And say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm struggling with. This is why I did that. Daddy, it's not because I felt like the devil told me to do it. Nope, I just wanted to do it. I felt like it, and I wanted to, and I did it, and that sucks, because now I'm back at your feet, and I'm like, hey, I don't like it. Help me. Change my appetite. Amen. Change my appetite. Yes. The Bible says, the Bible says that when your eyes are healthy, your whole body is healthy. Some of us need to ask our Father to change our eyesight. Some of us need to ask our daddy to change our eyesight. So that in which we are desiring is no longer a desire. And so when that thing begins to rise up, hold on. Nope. I put that at the feet of my daddy. No longer who I am. No longer that girl. I'm no longer that man. I am not that person. I don't go there. I don't even know what you're talking about. That takes knowing who you are to say, you know what? This is not where I want to be. This is not how I'm supposed to be. I need to go and talk to my daddy. It ain't his fault. Because if you think about everything God did from the beginning, I think about all the time how the Bible says that he washed away everything, right? And this time when he comes back, it's going to be in fire. Mm-hmm. Now, he washed away everything, and then he allowed Noah, who was a drunk, to build an ark. Mm-hmm. Okay, bet. That's cool. I'm grateful. And then the Bible says that sin just kept happening and happening and happening and happening. And it was approximately about 400 years before Jesus came upon the scene. Who's going to check God if he say, you know what, I ain't even going to do my son like that. We're just going to start over.
Wow.
But to know that God is faithful to himself, to know that he is faithful to himself, which then releases the faithfulness to his sons and his daughters. That's why he didn't do it. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of you. It's because he's faithful to himself. So he's literally up there talking to him, himself and him. He's talking to him, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he's like, hey, you know what? I bet I could, but I'm not, because this is what we already agreed upon.
Come on.
Nobody could protect me. Nobody can check me, but I'm not going to do it. And so when reconciliation comes, it comes because we have checked ourselves to say, you know what? Let me go talk to my daddy about it. It doesn't come because we don't have the humility and the posture to go back and tell our daddy that we're sorry.
So good. So good. I mean, what'd you say after that? Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And God, give us a repentant heart. That is a practice. That should be a daily practice. When we go before the Father in prayer, I always enter in worship, because you are worthy to be praised. I'm going to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, because your word says to do so first of all.
Yes.
So I want to be in obedience to the Lord. And then I'm going to repent. God, everything that I know that I've did, everything that I didn't know, everything that the accuser has on my bloodline, and my family, my mama's mama, and the daddy, I want to be forgiven.
Amen.
Father. Anything in the deepest crevices of my heart, because it's deceitful and it hides things from myself, forgive me, Father. I'm not going to purge my mouth to ask or to petition or to come before you for anybody until I am forgiven. And I ain't going to wallow in this thing, because you told me if I ask and I present it to you, it's done. I am in right standing with you. So I'm good to go. So here's the petitions, Abba. And I ain't gonna stop there. I'm gonna read your word to each petition, because I'm gonna speak the very life that's necessary to bring this thing to pass in the name of Jesus. And then after I'm done talking with you and giving you your word, because you told me to bring you in remembrance, and then we could contend together. Now I'm gonna sit. Because I came in intentional that you was gonna meet me there. And I'm gonna wait to hear from from you with expectation. Yes. And when I get the answer, because it don't take long, I'm going to take the direction and say, Abba, how do I execute? Give me the action behind the direction. And now that I got the direction, give me the promise. Because the promise is the thing I'm going to look at to follow the direction. When the direction get hard and I'm struggling, when the enemy is talking and the storm is going, I got the promise to hang to. But the direction is the pathway to the promise. And when I hang on to the promise and I stay obedient to your word and I make it to the promised land, it's because I followed the direction. Now, repeat
y'all
the process.
Attention to these instructions.
That's it. Repeat. Go on to the beginning. Repeat. That's the prayer journal. I just gave it to you.
Rewind.
Write it down. Rewind. Do the process. Repeat. That's what I do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, help me. Felicia, girl, listen, I got 2 minutes.
Okay. You wrap it up.
Let me just say this. 2020. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all not ready. I mean, what God is doing in our lives for 2020, what God has shown us, what the vision is. I mean, I am so excited. I am so excited. DC was a phenomenal trip. It was life-changing. Tatum fasting and pregnant. Thank you, girl. I know the baby was hungry, but I appreciate you fasting on my behalf because I saw God.
Yes.
And meeting these amazing women. Felicia, you are phenomenal. And it's not to boastful. It's not to praise you or worship you. Mm-hmm. It is mind-blowing to meet women who are on fire for God authentically.
Amen.
And out there to build the kingdom authentically, laying everything out authentically. Yeah. And me and Felicia had conversations with one to another, as the word of God says, and to be as transparent and vulnerable as we have been in our group, just as we have been on this group, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you can have that on the east and the west, I'm going to the north and the south
God
next.
God is doing something in that.
Yes.
That east and that west.
Come on.
Bringing them together.
He said, I'm putting anointings together that are going to create a new fragrance. And this fragrance is going to be so attractive. It's going to draw in the very undrawable.
Yes.
The very undrawable. Yes. This is what unity looks like.
Amen.
This is what partnership looks like in the Father. We love you. We thank you for supporting the Relational Breakdown series. Felicia, we thank you for coming on. Girl, you ain't done. Girl, listen.
Thank you.
It ain't over.
Can I say one more thing?
You can.
We're talking at the very end. And it's going to be quick and it's going to be sweet, I promise. When you were just talking about the relationship, right? I just want to say to anybody who is listening and watching, what God is after is relationship with his people. He is so over religionship.
Yeah.
He is so over religionship. God is after relationship. He is after your authenticity. He is after your frustrations. He is after your cries. He's after your curse words. He's after your, I don't know, your I call them temper tantrums, you know. He's after your brat fits. Like, God is after relationship with his people.
Yeah.
He is done with relationship. He ain't got time for that. What he wants and what he desires is our heart.
Good.
Our hearts is what he desires. It's our hearts. He ain't trying to check for no religion. He ain't got time for that.
Amen. And with that, we out, y'all. We love you. We love you. Be checking for us
next season
in February. We coming back.
Night.
Love y'all. Felicia. Good night.
Bye.
Felicia, we love you, girl. I'll be on the phone with you later. We gonna log out, Felicia, but you can stay on the line. We just logging out. We off now.
Okay.
Girl.